Hello, this is Matt Slick from the Matt Slick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The heart of every man craves a great adventure, but life doesn't usually feel that way. Jesus speaks of narrow gates and wide roads, but the masculine journey is filled with many twists and turns. So how do we keep from losing heart while trying to find the good way when life feels more like a losing battle than something worth dying for? Grab your gear and come on a quest with your band of brothers who will serve as the guides in what we call the masculine journey. The Masculine Journey starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey. We're excited you're with us this week, and I know I say that every week, but we are excited every week, and especially this week, the post-boot camp edition of the Masculine Journey. Andy, you have trouble with
it? I would love to see it one time when you come on. Yeah. Like, we are not very happy to be here. Well, I'm so excited.
Maybe I'll look at you next time.
He was very excited about jumping in on you.
Yeah, he was. He was almost
sorry, Andy, you set yourself up for that one.
Yeah. Well, you say that all the time. Yeah, we're really excited. I was like, what else are you going to say?
We are excited they're with us this week. And we are on the post-boot camp show. And this is one of our favorite shows of the year. We actually have two of them throughout the year that we do this on. But it's kind of a recap of our favorite clips / moments / things that God did or things that happened at boot camp. And that's what this show is going to be about. And the after hours will continue it. And we just have a plethora of clips. Jim, that's a word for you. A whole bunch.
More than a few.
Yeah, more than a few.
Quite a several,
yeah. More than I can count. And that's not because I ran out of fingers. That's really what the limitation was on that. But, Robbie, you actually have the first clip for this boot camp show. So you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the neat things about boot camp for me always is we have movie night, usually two different nights. And so we watch two different movies during those boot camps, and they're usually movies that we've seen numerous of times and used lots of clips from. And one of those movies that we watch quite often, especially this time of year, is The Legend of Bagger Vance. And, you know, it's just a neat thing. All the guys sitting there watching this movie, eating popcorn. But you've been with God all day long. You've had covenant of silences. You've been with guys that are really, you know, running after the heart of God for a day. And God is clearly in the room with you. Mm-hmm. And you're watching this movie, and you're present in a way that I don't know that you can be present except at boot camp. I don't know how to put it. And so I've watched this clip, I don't know how many times. It's called See the Field. But when you listen to it carefully, what Bagger is going to do is describe for Juno, who's a struggling golfer, right, how to find his swing because he's gone and lost it. But Juno's at the point now where he's 12 strokes back, and he looks like he's going to lose this match big time and embarrass himself totally. And he's just now, the catter, who is really the Holy Spirit character, has allowed him in his pride to try to hack his way through this thing. And now he's going to begin, once he gets contrite and starts to get himself out of the way, to get some real instruction. And here you go.
The field. I see the field, but it's 445 yards long. It's got a little red flag at the end of it. It's 12 strokes ahead of me. Come on.
That ain't it. Because if you seen the field, you wouldn't be hacking at that ball like you was chopping weeds out from under your front porch.
Just give me the club.
Sorry I bring it up. You're going to take that hack away.
Slide out. That's what he has to do. All right, what's the field?
Fix your eyes on Bobby Jones.
Knock it out there, Bobby.
Look at his practice swing. Almost like he's searching for something. Then he finds it. Watch how he settles itself right into the middle of it. Feel that focus. He got a lot of shots he could choose from. Duffs and tops and skulls. But there's only one shot that's in perfect harmony with the field. One shot that's his. Authentic shot. And that shot is going to choose him. There's a perfect shot out there trying to find each and every one of us. All we got to do is get ourselves out of its way. Let it choose us. Look at him. He in the field.
Yeah, look at him. He's in the field. And again, sometimes you get to see other guys. You know, to me, this boot camp has just been an amazing thing to watch the guys that have grown, you know, given talks. Mm-hmm. And Danny gave a talk at the end, and he highlighted that the passage that's pretty scary in Matthew. I think it's 7:22, where, you know, God says, I never knew you. You know, you did all this stuff in my name, but I never knew you. And it's a pretty scary thing. And the point that Danny made so eloquently and beautifully, the way the whole thing was set up, especially with this movie before it, was that, you know, God doesn't want you to do things for him. He wants to do things with him. And so as he was describing that, and I was thinking about this clip and so many things this weekend that pointed to this, that, you know, like on the radio, I have a lot of different things I could talk about. But when you get up in the morning, first thing you begin to search, God, what do you want? What do you want? And I love the way he said it. When you finally get yourself out of the way, like take everything off the table that you thought you wanted to do, you're now in a position for that shot to choose you. And it's your one true, that's the shot. And when that light comes on, for anybody who's ever experienced it, whether you're a computer programmer or whatever it is, that you know, oh, that's exactly what he's getting at. And at that point in time, you can get complete focus because you begin to picture, I like the way Harold put it about his poems, that there's this germ that begins to grow in your mind. And again, we get to see that, Sam, right?
Mm-hmm.
From all these guys as they are becoming into their one true authentic self as they begin, as God is teaching them in their masculine journey. And of course, I got a long, long, long way to go and a whole lot of getting myself out of the way. But it's just a beautiful thing for me, this camp, to watch, you know, what God has done within the Band of Brothers.
Yeah, it was... We didn't have a lot of attendees at this camp, but whenever that's happened, God's got something special in mind. Every camp is special, but this time he really chose to come after the team a lot, in a lot of ways, and the campers, you know. But I think if we would have had a lot bigger crowd, we would have missed some of the stuff that he was trying to do, you know, with us, and we would have been not distracted, but we would have been on other missions and not really present, you know, to what he was doing with us. And I think this was a really great camp for the people that were there, but also for the team, because I felt a lot of team growth and a lot of warfare, for sure. You know, this was a very warfare-filled camp, but God triumphed, and it was really, really cool. So it's good. Rodney, you actually have the next clip, if you want to tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Let's see. The first thing that kind of struck me was that I need to go find a clip. I think I can hear it over that also.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't even want to get into what I chose and why I chose it really until after the clip, but I was going to describe the clip. You've got here, and I've never seen this movie. It's what? Something Within? I forget
the
what
Fight
I...
The Fight Within.
Yeah, The Fight Within. I just struggled to find something that had what I want. And I found this clip and it's like, well, it has a portion of what I want, but not some other stuff, but it's still kind of a deep clip to think about. But what you have here is a guy pulls into this gas station. Obviously he's had some trouble in his life as you hear this conversation go on. It's because somebody speaks into him, but he sees this guy sitting down at the gas station outside the convenience store. I think he's assuming he's homeless, which he may or may not be, but he goes in and orders something for himself, and then he's like, okay, I need to get something for him. And he guys goes out and shares some pizza with him and just sits down and has a conversation. And the guy who he's trying to help helps him way more and way more deeply because he's talking about God to him. So let's listen.
Is that it? I got gas on 7, and let me get 2 slices of that pizza, please. Thought you might like something to eat.
It's mighty Christ-like of you, young man. Thank you.
I don't know about that. Just look like you could use some help, Saul.
You do too.
Yeah? I guess we all do, huh? You know, sometimes it feels like no matter how hard you try, everything you do is wrong.
Well, you know, most people mess up because they don't know right from wrong. Just do whatever they want, whenever they want. Bad choices, making bad things happen. Just running around, trying to prove to somebody, not even realizing who they really are.
Yeah, well, who are they?
God's children, of course. He loves all of us.
Yeah, I guess if you say so, mister.
Now, just because you don't know you're God's child, don't mean you're not. And if you ain't God's child, who are you? Well?
Yeah, so, well, who are you? And it's just amazing how God orchestrates all of us to be where we're supposed to be all the time to do his will throughout eternity. Now, you started thinking of, wow, how he put certain people into our lives, certain people into the boot camp routine. And you go, I went to Robbie telling us about this guy named Ricky Korn and his plane trip, and he's seen some things. And you start getting these stories, and you're like, man, this guy is wild. There's all these stories about his past, what he's done, and you're thinking about many, many, many things other than really who he is. Who is he in Christ? But we've seen him now for several years. He comes to boot camps. He talks to Robbie a lot and other times, so we get to hear even more stories. But he's one of the most giving men I've ever met. I mean, he shows up with trinkets and gifts and things for us every single time, and it's not only the physical things, but it's what he says, his prayers, and how he just speaks truth. I mean, the first few boot camps, we would always find ourselves going out praying together on walks and when we stake out the territory and stuff, and just loved that time with him. And you get to hear more and more of his heart, and his heart really is in wanting to serve and do things for other people. And like this one, every time I turned around, he's giving somebody another gift. And the other gift that we got was really coming from the ladies, right? They loved on us big time, serving us this past weekend. It was wonderful between those two giving.
Well, thank you, Rodney. We do have another boot camp coming up. I know we just finished one, but we have coming up in November. It's November 21st, I think, through 24th. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. It's weekend before Thanksgiving. Go to masculinejourney.org to register. We'll talk to you after the break.
What we have at our boot camp is something that makes you stronger and gives you the strength to go on your regular walk with God. It's something that will make you be bigger than you were when you got there.
So what's kind of been your favorite part so far? I know we've got a little bit of ways to go in this masculine journey thing, so.
My favorite part is really just being able to talk to other men about real things, you know, and hear from you guys. You guys have been through a lot, and just listening to these guys' stories, their advice, it's really uplifting to me. Kind of growing up in church my whole life, you know, I really haven't been as close, and I feel like coming to boot camp has helped me get more close, because, you know, I'd kind of gotten to a point where I'd fallen away a little bit, and then my first boot camp, my mom told me about it, and I was like, okay, yeah, we'll go, we'll check it out, we'll see. And then I came, and I was like, you know, I'm always going to come back, because I'd never been to a place like that before. I really appreciate you guys. I'm glad I can be here.
Register today at masculinejourney.org.
Welcome back to Masculine Journey. That is our bump in. It's Steppenwolf, Born to Be Wild, and it's from Wild Hogs. It was one of the songs that was played in that movie as they were heading off on their adventure that kind of changed their whole lives. And so I was looking for a bump, and this one kind of came to mind, and I really didn't know why, other than I was like, oh yeah, we just played it the other day, and so I heard it. But I think, you know, that's really what our story is, right? It's God takes us out on adventures that changes our lives. You know, and that's been all of our stories, and I'm assuming that's been a lot of your stories out there, that God takes you on adventures you didn't really originally plan, or you planned something similar, and he took you in a little bit different direction, you know, and things don't always work out the way you thought they would, but often work out the way they're supposed to, if we just lean into him and let him lead it. And so it is good. We are born to be wild, but wild in him. And so that's where our thing comes in. And Andy, you actually have the first clip of this segment.
Okay. So my clip is a clip that I used during my talk on Cowboy Ranger, a.k.a. Cowboy Sailor, because it is a clip on sailing. But what you have is this guy that kind of, I think it's, well, we'll just call him a skipper. He's leading some boys out in this academy where the kids go out. They don't want to go to their senior year. They want to learn to sail, but it's like college prep too, so they're responsible for doing studying and all that stuff. But in this scene, you've got a storm that comes up in the middle of him giving one of these cadets or whatever the wheel. And it just kind of goes through that. You'll hear a lot of sounds and stuff. This is pretty visual. But yet you constantly hear the skipper's voice giving direction to this young man. It's a perfect picture of a being fathered through that Cowboy Ranger stage. And kind of the fruit of it, you hear him, the skipper give him the wheel, which says, I trust you to do this. And then at the very end, he tells him, you hear him several times say, that is a good job. And then what's really cool, well, we'll play it. I don't want to give the whole thing away. But anyway, it's really a good scene, though. I just thought through the whole process of that Cowboy Ranger stage of what it would look like to really be fathered well at that. And again, if you didn't get it at that stage, we're here at adults. We're getting that same instruction from God, I believe, to help us reinitiate it in that stage. So.
Was that after weeks of training, with the hurricane season behind us, the Albatross took to the open sea. In each of us were feelings of excitement and hesitation for the man at the helm and the unfamiliar world he would be leading us into.
Jake, come here, take the wheel. Come here. Hold her steady into the wind, southwest by west.
Sir. Holding her steady southwest by west.
What's wrong, Mr. McRae?
Seems like we're short on singers, Skipper.
Everyone sings aboard a windjammer, gentlemen. Let everyone know you're in sync. It shows unity, that all thoughts are one. Besides, I like it. Bear off the port and run downwind. All off to port, either round or heading in northeast. Sing out when you're there.
Sure. All right, stand by to loosen squares.
Northeast, sir.
Speak up, boy.
Northeast, sir.
Loosen squares.
Loosen squares.
Keep your eye on the pennant, Chuck. Good job now. We'll have people in the water.
Yes, sir.
All stop on the engine. Behold, the power of the wind.
Hark up the main staple.
Hark up the main staple.
Hey, skipper, the jib's blown out.
Bring it in and run up the storm jib. Stay in the reach of the blast.
Nicely done. You're enjoying this.
The seas lasted 16 hours, and when we weren't throwing up, it scared us. Skipper never left the deck, not once. I think he loved every minute out there. He's strong, tough, and he won't take no for an answer. But he makes you want to please him. I wonder if we'll ever live up to his expectations.
So, if I didn't say it before, that's from White Squall is the name of the movie. It's a true story, 1961, I believe. They actually lost that ship, and there was a big deal about it. But really, it has...
Well, I haven't seen the movie. Thanks, man.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Spoil.
It's running by the sled too.
I was getting ready to watch it with my wife.
1996. So spoiler alert.
I'm saying. Yeah.
My bad. So I was trying to give a little context there.
That's okay.
But the movie, have to watch it. It really does. You know, just gives you some insight into that whole cowboy ranger stage that we get into, and you hear there at the end you hear the skipper the whole time, and you hear him, you know, pretty much say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or "Well done, my beloved son." But you also hear the son's reaction to that. Mm-hmm. His son, but the kid's reaction to that he's been fathered well, and he said the father, I keep calling it the skipper, enjoyed it as much as the boys, and that we're hoping that we'd measure up, essentially. And I think even then, we're on this journey, and you're learning, and you're going back, and you're being reinitiated in a lot of these things. Sometimes you wonder, am I doing this right, God? Mm-hmm. And I believe his affirmation is there for us. If nothing else, we're trying. We're opening ourselves up to be fathered by him. But I truly believe he's saying, "Well done, sons." And I believe that's what he said to the team and to the campers this week. So,
well, thank you. Was one of the boys named Gilligan by chance? I said something about Skipper. I wasn't quite sure.
That would be me, probably. No. There's a Skipper, and I'm Gilligan. Right?
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Andy. Jim, you're next.
This is from Secondhand Lions. And I think two of the movies we used during this were ones that are many of our favorites and were blasted by critics, which I've actually come to the point of, if you criticize, you got real rough reviews from the critics, it's either truly an awful movie or it's a classic. And this is probably my favorite scene of any we play. It is, let's see if I can get it right, not Dub, but Hub.
Hub or Bub or Rub.
No, just Hub. He's part of the wheel here. Older guy, just got out of the hospital, feeling useless. And this was actually part, in fact, two clips are going to be ones that I used in the Sage talk. And the wound, which occasionally I identify with, is feeling useless. And this is how he deals with that.
Hey, old man. How's that barbecue? Give me some.
We're busy before we get lost, all right?
What did you say?
Here's a perfect example of what I've been talking about. Since this boy has been given everything but discipline. And now his idea of courage and manhood is to get together with a bunch of punk friends and ride around irritating folks too good-natured to put a stop to it.
Hey, who do you think you are, huh?
Just dumb kid, huh? Don't kill him. Hub McCann. I fought in two world wars and countless smaller ones on three continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of natives no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost a dozen fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman with a passion, a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am.
Now, after he's taking out these four guys and they're all in pretty rough shape, takes them home, teaches them a few things about life, cooks them steak dinners after he's used the steaks to put on their eyes that are swelling up. And it's a beautiful example of finishing well, of not giving up and rolling over and play dead. And that's part of why I love this one and the final outcome on that. If you haven't seen the movie, please get it, watch it. I'm not going to ruin it like some might with the ones they're talking about, but it's an outstanding movie.
Very family friendly movie.
Yes,
for sure. You can, the whole family can watch it, and it's very good. And thank you, Harold. Do you want to take us home on this part? You want to tell us a little bit about your experiences at camp? We got a couple minutes left, about a minute and a half.
Yeah, that clip is one of my favorites as well. But the part I guess that I like the most is the loving one woman mm-hmm. with a passion. And I have a selfish thing. My favorite thing from boot camp was when Robbie let me talk about having been married for almost 60 years now to my sweetheart. And nothing tickles me more than to be able to talk about her. I've been in love with that woman since we first met. In fact, we were engaged within the first 6 weeks that we knew one another. But it took about another 18 months before we could get married. I had to finish school first. And so anytime there's a talk about that, it catches my attention right away. The other part I liked was about Robbie was I am, in my own eyes, if not in others, that warrior poet. I had the spirit of a warrior because I thought I was going to be a fighter pilot in the Navy until I met my sweetie. She changed my life forever.
Was that a biplane?
It could have been. I would have had to have that to go against the Red Baron.
Actually, the trainer probably was.
It could have been back then. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, that God works in mysterious ways mm-hmm. to accomplish what He wants. I had passed the written exam for aviation officer candidate school only 2 weeks before her brother tricked me into a blind date. And then the rest is history.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, thank you. We'll be back for the after hours. If it won't be on the regular broadcast. So if you want to hear that, you go to any podcast location. You can pick up Masculine Journey After Hours. We thank you for listening. And do something this week. Go love somebody well. And take good care of your own heart. We'll talk with you next week.
This is the Truth Network.